Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Most holy mystery, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts as your scripture is read and your word proclaimed, that we might gain a glimpse of your joyous life and join the dance of Father, Spirit, and Son, now and always. Amen. So today is Trinity Sunday. It's a pretty key theological belief in the faith life of Christians, and it's so important that there were dozens of councils and arguments and divisions about it in the early church. Countless people were killed because of their thoughts about how the three persons, Father or Creator, Son or Redeemer, and Holy Spirit or Sustainer, could be one divine and eternally connected being. But this is also an incredibly difficult concept to wrap our heads around. I mean, it's inconceivable, honestly. Because it's so complicated, and because the arguments seem to have happened like so long ago, and they were resolved, so like we don't really care that much about the Trinity. Okay, maybe we care, but we don't give it a whole lot of thought anymore. And I think that's a bit of a shame. Now, I also recognize that our scripture passage for today doesn't do a lot to explain the Trinity. I mean, there's barely a mention of it beyond Jesus telling the disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's it. There's no explanation, not even a speculation, of how or whether the Son and the Spirit are co-eternal with the Father. But I'll let you in on a little secret. The doctrine of the Trinity isn't explicitly spelled out anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible will you find mention of one and three, or three and one, three persons, one essence. None of that is anywhere in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that the early church just made it up. Terms like those came from Greek philosophical concepts that helped people of the time really interpret what the Bible says about who God is and how God is present and how God is at work in the world. I want to assure you that not fully understanding, even outright doubting this mystery is okay. God is inconceivable. Even in our scripture passage for today, Matthew says that when the disciples see Jesus post-resurrection, they worship, but some still doubt. Even the people who witnessed the resurrection firsthand didn't have a perfect faith. Yet that doubt is incorporated into their worship. Again, Matthew and the rest of the New Testament has no developed doctrine of the Trinity. All Matthew knows is that Christians must speak devoutly of the Father, the Son, and Spirit in a way that doesn't violate Jewish belief in one true God. And we could take that to mean that the Trinity doesn't matter. Can't we just know, or at least say, that God is God, and God somehow knows who we are, and where we are, and what we're doing, and what we need? I guess we could. But Jesus told us to baptize people in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we only baptized in the name of the Creator, we would deny the work and person of Christ and the ongoing activity of the Spirit. Sure, God is powerful and mysterious in this scenario, but also detached and impersonal. If we baptized solely in the name of Jesus, we'd miss God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the part that's larger than what we can see or understand and is beyond all logic or reason. Again, we'd miss the Holy Spirit and the ongoing presence of God with us today. Okay, what if we just baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, that would miss the awesomeness and creativity of God and the redemptive work of Christ. The part of God that rose from the dead to overcome our sinfulness. We need all three persons of the Trinity. But that doesn't mean we worship three gods. There is still only one God. So rather than existing in isolation, God, from the beginning of the world through eternity, is relational. For example, between the Father and the Son, there was, is, and always will be a mutual self-giving. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. And the same is true of the Spirit. So wait, is what I'm telling you that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? That is not how math works. Okay, well, how about this? Maybe Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God, they're each 1/3 of a person. That would add up to 1. Oh, that's not right either. This whole thing, it's inconceivable. Whether we try to emphasize either the wholeness of each member of the Trinity or the complete oneness of the Trinity, we end up with heresies. It's possible, even appropriate, to associate different works with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in particular, but we still can't separate them. The different works of creation, salvation, sustaining, those are really just different aspects of the total work of one God. What one member of the Trinity does, what one member of the Trinity wills, the other two will also do. Where one is at work, the other two are at work also. And the purpose and the goal of any one member of the Trinity is the same as the purpose and the goal of the other two. Greater minds than mine have attempted to explain the triune God. And I don't know that I will ever fully wrap my head around it in this lifetime. But I still experiment with different ways of trying to understand the triune God. I keep coming back to perichoresis. And this is a description of the Trinity that was provided by a Greek theologian, John of Damascus. And when we break down the word, peri means around, and choresis means dancing, like choreography. John of Damascus envisions God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as dancers who are holding hands. They aren't three independent persons who get together and they decide to form a dance troupe, because dance troupes can break up at any time if one of them decides to start a solo career. No. Each person exists only in relationship with the other two as they dance around together in harmonious, joyful freedom. They are a divine community. The doctrine of the Trinity is inconceivable. It doesn't actually try to explain the mystery of the triune God. Rather, it tries to preserve a mystery that cannot be explained without just like explaining it away in one false direction or another. Comprehending the mystery itself isn't as important as thinking about who God is and what God is doing in our lives and in the world around us. We don't have to fully understand what's happening to think about what is happening. Every week in worship, we say the Apostles' Creed, which has the doctrine of the Trinity in it. And it is possible to just say those words every week without really understanding what we're saying. But that doesn't really respect our uniquely Christian way of understanding God, ourselves, and one another. So in the upcoming weeks, whenever you get a moment, I challenge you to grapple with what that mysterious, inconceivable triune God means to you. Amen.